In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We didn't bring it up, but probably of almost equal concern to the fifth spot in the rotation, and Matt Waldron, is the shortstop position over the next week while Ha-Sung Kim is on the injured list. And the fact that Tyler Wade...
Henry Morales with a home run. Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along... along the way. And the Angels batting order.
I sent that message to Paulie, and he downloaded
Angels
it.
Angels batting order. Just,
take a breather. Get a drink of water. Get a lozenge.
Red Sox pitching staff.
Wait until later in the segment for that. Tyler Wade, since Ha-Sung Kim got hurt and they inserted him at shortstop, he's 0 for 11. Not that that couldn't change today, but it seems pretty clear, based on Mike Schilt's managing, that Tyler Wade will continue to start at short unless there's a left-hander on the mound, and then it'll probably be Mason McCoy.
I think that's...
They don't want to move anybody over to shortstop,
no.
At least short-term, with Ha-Sung Kim, which means...
They might want to move someone over to short, but the main guy has said, I've already moved. I've moved already. Like, respect it. You know, I've already moved, and I'm comfortable now.
Fine. Then what about, you know, Jake? And get Donovan Solano into the lineup somehow. He continues to, when he gets an opportunity to produce. I mean, you've got a good bench. He's the best part of your good bench, but you're not using the best part. You're using the worst end of your bench to fill in for one of your main starters here for 10 days. Tyler Wade, and again, not trying to, you know, denigrate Tyler Wade, but he's not really putting up great at-bats right now. He's 0 for 11 since they've asked him to go in there.
Not great.
And Mason McCoy, while he's a good defensive replacement from all we've heard, not going to bring much offensively to the table. So you are basically punting on one spot in your batting order for 10 days while Ha-Sung Kim is on the injured list. And that's something that I'm a little more concerned about.
You know, they talk a lot in the big leagues these days about the lane. We got to find a lane for this guy. They have found a lane for Donovan Solano, and it's working. The pinch hitting numbers are astounding. They're astounding. And do you then run him out for the next 10 days, right? Is he a 10-day in a row player? I don't know. I think, again, they found a lane they're comfortable with. Using guys, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in the roundtable today, but using guys in the right spot is just as important. It's just as important as using your quote unquote best players, right? Like, they have to be in the situation that works for them. And if they found what's working, because again, the numbers, the record, Ben, says unquestionably what they're doing is working. Right? You can't deny that we're not in a free fall. We're not, you know, the offense isn't struggling. It's working. One of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team since the break. So,
but it's not working because of Tyler Wade. It's working
correct.
In spite
of
Tyler
It is.
Wade.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, it's still working, though. You don't care how you get the result.
I'm sorry. They're showing that.
Why are they doing
guys
this
on MLB Network right now? MLB Network showing that that's what's in guys from 2 years ago.
We are never beating these charges. We're never beating those charges. It's right behind.
They had a graphic with like 100 tweets posted up there, and it was like, "Please don't talk about those guys." I think there were a bunch of Padres. Please do not bring those guys up. And then they showed the whole damn
everyone laughing,
video.
Having a good time.
Lauren Shahadi, Mark DeRosa, just laughing it up.
Janine says they have to get Solano in. I tend to agree with you. I would probably do it. I probably would.
If I was a manager and I had Donovan Solano, who's put nothing but consistent, good at-bats together, basically since the moment you got him.
But he's now, done that because of how you've used
but I'm
him,
not,
maybe.
I'm not saying
maybe.
That maybe. He's the starter every day for the rest of the season. That's, I'm saying for 1 week.
For 1 week.
While Ha-Sung Kim is out, find a way to get him into the lineup. Not Tyler Wade and Mason McCoy every single day. And I know that doesn't mean playing Solano at short, but there's got to be someone like Jake you can move over and let Solano DH and get him into the lineup.
Put a rise at first.
Put a rise at first.
But
even if it's a
Solano.
Solano can play first, right?
Solano could play first. Arise, Solano can play
second.
Bogarts
could DH. And Solano can play second.
But here's the thing.
And I get it. It'll be against some righties. But he's hitting okay against righties, too.
Remember this, though. If you have Donovan Solano and Luis Arise at first and second, you are giving the other team the whole right side of the field. That's theirs. Solano doesn't have range.
I wouldn't put them both together on the same day.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't put them both together.
Like, do we all know how much Mike Schilt prioritizes defense? Do we all appreciate that? I do. It matters, man. Run prevention is really, really important. And Jake is a better first baseman than anybody we have, by far, really. So if you're having a right side of Arise and Solano, it's just to move Crony over to short, where I think he would be okay. I really do. He is athletic and can play the position. I just, to sacrifice the whole right side of your infield is tough. I like preventing runs. I do. And Jake helps you there better than anybody in either position that we have. So I don't know what the answer is, man. I think that's probably what the conundrum is. I bet you it's a defensive conundrum for Mike Schilt and AJ Preller. I'll ask him that tomorrow.
You're already playing Arise at first some of the time anyway, because he doesn't want to be a full-time
spilled water all over myself.
He doesn't want to be a full-time DH. So Arise, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Machado as your infield, with Solano as your DH, and Wade coming off the bench. And you know, late in the game, obviously you get a lead, you get some early runs. Yeah. Yank someone and put Tyler Wade or Mason McCoy in there for defensive purposes. But you got to score some runs.
You do. I get it. I totally understand. But I'm not even really trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm just trying to explain like what probably their logic is. Is like we are going to really weaken the right side of the field if we have Donovan Solano and Luis Arise playing there. And again, Crony, I would say, is it fair to say Crony's an unknown at short? I mean, he's played there before,
True. Yes,
but it's been a while. So now you've weakened three positions, essentially. And you got Manny at third. That's great. But you've basically weakened your entire infield. So I'm okay. Where did he come from? He came from the Cardinals. Are we all surprised that he values defense and that he probably will put Mason McCoy in? Because again, in the PCL, they did some poll. I saw this yesterday. They did some poll. He was voted like the best defensive shortstop in the PCL. I'm sure when Mike Schilt saw that, call him up. Get him up here. So, yeah, I understand offense, but I also understand defense, and I think it's important.
If you want to play a little real or fake on a Throwback Thursday, you can call in now, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We've got our game coming up in a couple of minutes. Now, the one thing I do fully believe is this conversation that we just had about Donovan Solano, who should play short, has been had and is continuing to be had behind the scenes at Petco Park. Probably with a lot of passion as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are good arguments on both sides. There is an argument, as you said, don't give up defense as well. We know we're going to be weaker offensively without Ha-Sung Kim. We know we're going to be weaker defensively without Ha-Sung Kim. Let's not compound the mistake by becoming weaker both places all across the field. I get that. No, that makes sense. But I think there's also a good argument, and I'm sure someone in that front office or in the coaching room is making, yeah, but you know Donovan Solano, he goes up there and usually barrels the ball.
Yep.
His nickname is Donnie Barrels because he puts together good at-bats and gets a lot of hits, and he's been hitting for power a little bit as well, had another home run yesterday. How do we not have him in the lineup when we are so weak offensively at one position and we got this guy sitting waiting for a pinch hit spot that may never come in a game? Get him three or four at-bats and see what he can do for a week at least. So both of those arguments are valid. They're both being made around Petco Park. For now, the decision, though, seems to be Tyler Wade and Mason McCoy until Ha-Sung Kim is back.
Yep. which in that case, you're really only prioritizing defense against a left-handed pitcher, right? Because Tyler Wade's not a good defensive shortstop, really. And Mason McCoy is. At least he was in the PCL. So
you're not moving someone out of a position where they are good at.
Correct.
Which was your point.
Correct.
It's not necessarily Kevin's out. Is Wade even good at shortstop? It's more you're weakening yourself at two positions.
Correct.
When you move someone else.
And honestly, let's call it what it is. You're weakening yourself potentially at three positions if you move Jake Cronenworth to short or Xander to short or whatever. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But I think we can all agree, yeah, you got to find a way to get Donovan Solano in the lineup more. I'm not saying he should be the everyday starter, but you got to find a way to get him more consistent at bats.
Janine says an ex needs to realize how dire the situation is and be willing to move. Mike Schilt addressed that again yesterday and said, you know, it's very, he thinks it's harder to go from short to second than second to short. He explained how at short, the game's all in front of you. A ball is hit to you. You're looking over at first. You're rarely looking over to third. But at second, you've got to play both ways. You've got left and right. You've got both the second base bag. You've got to cover on stolen bases, on double plays. You make the turn to the right. You make the turn to the left. It's a very different position. Xander has adjusted well. He's playing it well. To throw a monkey wrench in right now and put him back to short could actually do some damage. So they don't want to do that. They don't have a lot of options. This is what they've been left with.
And please don't. I just don't think we should be ripping Xander Bogaerts, who is a guy that moved positions already. He moved off that position, and now you want him back. And I don't think he's being petty. I don't think he's being obstinate. I think he's just saying.
I think he's trying to stay locked in.
I think I just want, just leave me where I'm finally comfortable and playing well and contributing. Like, let's do that, because this is where you asked me to move here. I said I will do it. And now you want to move me back for 10 days? I totally understand his point of view. I do.
No one's saying move Jackson Merrill off center to go play short.
Right.
Because he's doing fine. He's comfortable there. Like, leave him. It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
100%.
But it is funny to me, again, said it yesterday, that a team full of shortstops, one shortstop goes down, and we're like, what the hell do we do?
Well, we do a shortstop.
All right, we can take some calls on this a little bit later. Keep that in mind. Right now, though, it is time to play our game. It is Thursday. It's time for Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, Dwayne, good morning to you. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good morning.
What's up,
good
buddy?
Morning. All right, here's what you're playing for. If you can get 4 out of 7 right, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. 2 nights stay at Resorts World Las Vegas and 2 tickets to Carrie Underwood, Reflection at Resorts World Theater. It's her residency, critically acclaimed. They've already extended it into the spring. It is underway now. Tickets at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. All right, here's your category, and Woodsy, happy to help you if he can. Travis Kelce says Adam Sandler is giving him a role in the upcoming Happy Gilmore sequel.
Okay.
Which got me thinking about golf movies. Today on Real or Fake, I will give you a movie title. You tell me if it is a real golf-themed movie released since the year 2000 or a fake I have made up to fool you.
All right.
More golf
could
movies than I thought out there.
This could be tough.
Dwayne, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right. Round number one. Real or fake? A gentleman's game. A gentleman's game. Real or fake golf movie?
I'm going to pull the Woodsy card. What do you think, Woods?
I've got no idea.
You watch a lot of movies. Not seen this one?
Never heard of it. The gentleman's game. Sounds like something Ben made up. I'm going to say fake.
Dwayne, what's your answer?
Fake.
Fake. 2002, starring Gary Sinise, A Gentleman's Game. All right, 0 for 1. Let's go to round number 2. Back Nine Bandits, real or fake? Back Nine Bandits.
That is an adult film, I'm pretty sure.
Real or fake?
Real if that qualifies.
Let's go fake.
That is fake. All right, 1-1.
Such a pervert, man.
Round number 3. The Pro, real or fake?
Ooh, what do you think, Woods?
I think that's real.
He's
thinking
real.
I think I've seen it.
Let's,
Not seen the
Let's
movie.
Go real.
All right. Real? Come on. He says real. Woods maybe ran into it on Netflix one
sorry,
day.
Sorry, sorry, no, sorry. We got it.
All right, here we go. We're at one, round number four. The Phantom of the Open.
Oh, my God.
The Phantom of the Open.
Wait.
It's got to be fake.
No, that's Mark Rylance, 2021. Fairly recent entry. All right, we're now in desperation.
Okay. All right, desperation.
Time. It is, you need to get all three right or the game is over. All right, round number five. Who's your caddy?
Oh, my God.
Who's your caddy?
It's got to be.
Real or fake?
Come on.
It's got to be fake, right, Woods?
It's got to be fake.
Fake.
Shut up! There's no way!
Big boy Lil Wayne in 2007. And who's your caddy?
Your caddy? I'm
and
so sorry.
And unfortunately, that means, Dwayne, the game is over for you today.
Sorry, Dwayne. I owe you a beer, man.
Ah, bummer. Let's try a couple more. T for two.
Fake.
That is fake. Swing Away.
Another adult film. Real.
Starring Shannon Elizabeth in 2016.
Shannon Swing Elizabeth? Away. Wait, who is that?
Never heard of it.
Who's Shannon Elizabeth?
She was in American Pie, right? She was the...
Is that her?
Isn't that her? I think so.
Give it a little... What's it called?
Swing Away. Starring Shannon Elizabeth, 2016.
Oh, she was the girl...
Nadia.
Nadia.
Yeah.
Yeah, in American Pie.
In American Pie. And she's in a golf movie.
I Am Lucky Girl?
Swing Away?
Swing Away.
I'm gonna check that out. She's 50 now, by the way, just so you know. 50, that's crazy. I'm getting, no, not a bit.
I'm way too age-appropriate for you, Woods.
Just, yes, way too age-appropriate. It means I'm getting old.
All right, well, I was sorry that we couldn't get Dwayne qualified for Las Vegas.
I can't believe those movies. How do those movies get made? Who's the guy that's sitting there?
What's Gary Sinise doing?
Yeah, well, who's
now there's so many more straight to Netflix,
sure.
Straight to streaming movies.
It doesn't matter.
I think there's
it doesn't
more
matter,
that
though.
Just get green lit.
It doesn't matter. Somebody has to say, here's $500,000 to make Swing Away with Shannon
Probably
Elizabeth.
Probably more like $5
million. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Whatever it's done. Who's the guy that does that?
I will say, the whole category was themed off of Adam Sandler. I think he was on Jimmy Fallon the other day. He was talking about Happy Gilmore 2. And I'm getting excited. He said he's got a lot of current golfers that are all in on cameos.
Cameos.
And he said, look.
I don't need Travis Kelce in there, but whatever.
Whatever. He said, Adam Sandler was like, I have been asked about a sequel to this movie for like 20 years. We wanted to do it right. We feel very good about the script. So I'm at least curious.
Yeah, he always said, I don't want to do it because we're just going to disappoint you. But he and his friend, Tim Hurley, he said,
we
got a really good concept. We've been writing our butts off for months, and we think we got a good movie for you. So we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. Little League coaches. Usually they do this because, well, they donate their time. Good thing that they're doing, but unfortunately one has stepped into the don't do this category.
Yeah, this one really rubbed me the wrong way. Kids get a lot of grief these days, a lot. And I think a lot of it should go to the, in this case, certainly should go to the coach.
That is coming up next with Ben Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, don't do this time. And I saw a lot of Padres fans taking note of this yesterday. Even I.
Even you.
Even I, who don't try to get into it too much, had to show it on Channel 10 last night simply because Everyone remembers earlier this season, Padres Nationals and the whole brouhaha between the teams involving Jurickson and Profar. How did it start? Well, remember, the Nationals intentionally walked. Who did they intentionally walk to get to Jurickson and Profar? Was it Arise? I think they walked Arise to get to Profar, who then walked him off with that double. And Profar was very adamant and celebratory after the walk-off win, as most players are. They just won the game. He also added the fact that he felt, you know, hey, going to disrespect me by intentionally walking the guy before me to get to me after the kind of season I've had. It was a little bit personal to Jurickson and Profar. Well, the Nationals weren't too happy about that, and
they took exception.
Jesse Winker was one of those guys
out of the dugout.
He jawed with a Padres fan, about it, and he was out of the dugout. Keibert Ruiz, obviously, the next day, the whole incident with Jurickson at home plate, who then got hit, then Manny hit the home run, then Jurickson hit the grand slam. So that was Jesse Winker. Well, at the trade deadline, Jesse Winker got dealt to the New York Mets, and yesterday, Jesse Winker hit his first home run with the New York Mets. It happened to be a walk-off winner to beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3. Guess what Jesse Winker did? Put his head down, ran around the bases? No. He celebrated like an absolute lunatic. Absolute lunatic.
It was crazy.
He got halfway to first base and
ripped
his helmet off, slammed it to the ground. Then between first and second, he had a whole other celebration and another
thug.
One between
that
second,
helmet could have bounced and
second
hit somebody.
And third. They got around third base. They pulled out like this OMG sign. And, you know, he stopped and, you know, basically, you know, the greeting line before he had even touched home plate.
It was unreal. By the way, big moment. Huge moment.
Yeah,
celebrate, man.
I don't have a big problem with how much he celebrated. It's a huge win for the Mets.
He said he blacked out. Great. Yeah, it's a huge, huge moment. Probably just like Jurickson and Profar.
But, you know, it's also a tough loss for the Orioles, who were there. I mean, hopefully they just walked into their clubhouse as they should and didn't care about what Jesse Winker was doing. I didn't hear any Baltimore Orioles saying anything about it. But it was just ironic that that guy, Jesse Winker, is the one who is losing his absolute ever-loving mind after hitting a walk-off.
It was pretty funny.
That's why you don't say anything the first time.
That's
because
right.
You may be the guy hitting a walk-off
you.
Later in the season.
It may be you. Literally, like, such a huge moment for Jesse Winker. Good for you, man. Celebrate like crazy. You deserve to do that, you know, certainly. But you also can't get mad when it's done to you or at you or whatever you may feel. Baseball is funny, man. I mean, I saw a tweet last night like, oh, Orlando Arcia stared at Bryce Harper as he rounded the base. Like, baseball players.
It's like the playoffs.
Yeah,
Who was it last year?
It was Harper that stared at Arcia.
That's right.
Yeah, because Arcia said, hey, way to go, Harper. And it was this whole huge thing. I mean, you want to talk about sensitive and boy, that's what happens in games in August. Everyone, they're a little worn out, man. They're a little on edge. So, speaking of on edge, this Little League coach from Staten Island, Bob Laterza, he was very negative about a guy that I don't know that I've ever heard anyone be negative about.
Is this the team
about
with all the Italian names that Paulie had last week?
I think so, yeah. It was the Staten Island team. And they were, of course, playing in the Little League World Series. No, it's Sunday night's Major League Baseball Little League Classic. Yeah.
So the Yankees and the Tigers were there in Williamsport.
That's right. They went
to the field before the game with all the Little Leaguers and had some interactions. And then at the game, all the Little Leaguers came to the stadium and where they played the game and got to watch.
So after the game, he claimed, Bob Laterza, that Aaron Judge big-timed them. He big-leagued them. He says, quote, how about turning around or wave to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? This is the one that got me. They are the ones that pay your salary. Anytime you invoke the words, I pay your salary, you're not a good dude. Whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's at an airline, whether it's at, for anything. I pay your salary.
Police, doctors,
nurses. 100%.
Baseball players.
They were disappointed. Maybe he'll want to make up for it and come see them. So the Yankees fired back and they said, quote, our entire roster spent the day in Williamsport connecting with as many Little Leaguers as they possibly could prior to our game, including the team from Staten Island. We commend all our players for devoting their complete attention to the hundreds of kids who literally walked step by step alongside them from the end and through the entirety of the evening. Our players were unequivocally committed to making the experience what it was intended to be, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They said neither the Yankees nor our players organized the schedule on Sunday. In fact, because Staten Island played on Sunday, our players went out of their way to spend time with them in the moments immediately before our game with the Tigers. Win or lose, we intend to invite them to Yankee Stadium. However, it would have been much better if Staten Island's coach called us to understand the facts before bitterly reacting in such a public fashion. Damn. Reaching out to us would have been the prudent way to act, would have set a fine example for his young players. Aaron Judge always acts with kindness and respect. And Eric Bolin, who covers the Yankees, says, I've been covering this team for 16 years. He said, I have never seen anyone as good with kids as Aaron Judge. Like, that of all guys.
I saw plenty of pictures and videos of him with Little Leaguers on the weekend.
100%.
Like, maybe he didn't say hi to your kid.
Owes you, Bob, and he owes you guys nothing.
Just be happy to be there, that they were there.
He owes you nothing. Nothing. And, you know, so like I say all the time, I mean, I'm a Little League coach. It's on me. I'm the coach. It's not on the kids. The kids are kids. They're kids. Everyone wants to point the finger, and I hear it. I hear it at the fields. Oh, entitled this, entitled that. Man, it's on us as coaches. It's really on us to set the example. And for him to go public with something like that because he didn't get the flowers he intended, you know, he thought he was going to get, and going after a guy like that, that's unconscionable.
Well, also, What does this guy expect? I assume Aaron Judge was in the on-deck circle, and he thinks that he should have figured out where the kids from New York were.
Turned around.
Well, he's playing the game. Mm-hmm. This is a real game that counts in the standings, and he's supposed to look around and find where specifically upset. The kids from New York. I got to make sure I wave at them.
It was like pregame stuff. I think he was more upset about because all the Yankees were hanging out with the Little Leaguers, and I guess
trust me, Aaron Judge doesn't know which Little Leaguers he's saying hi to and high fiving and waving at.
But they
all looked the same big leaguer.
I can promise you though, he wouldn't. Think about, play the tape for it.
He didn't specifically
intentionally snub
the Staten Island
kids. Those guys are
from
Staten Island. I'm going to go out of my way.
Of course not.
It's just.
But there's no chance he could have individually greeted every Little Leaguer there. Well, there's just no possible way. So maybe he missed a few, and they happen to be from Staten Island. But
sure.
That doesn't matter.
And again, if a kid comes to you and says, Daddy, I just tried to get so-and-so's autograph, and he was mean. I would say, hey, man, life sucks sometimes. That's a tough scene. And I would think about that, certainly. But it's also not my job to be like, you owe him. You owe him. He pays your salary. Bro, come on with that.
That 11-year-old pays your salary.
Come on, Bob. Come on. And you know what it did, though, to me? I read that story and I went, put that in the memory bank, buddy. Put that in there. I'm going to be coaching for many, many years to come.
Bro,
it's parents. A good reminder.
Little League sports parents can be the worst part of the game.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And so for me, I just said, all right, file that one away and keep that one close.
All right. Finally, time for doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
I'll throw it out there. This is for our friend Emily Nyman, who is a huge Lego fanatic. I don't know if you ever see her tweets. We've had her on before. But apparently so is Jeremiah Estrada. And our Annie Halbrin chronicled a really cool story that happened recently. Jeremiah Estrada was at a model store that had a lot of cool, of the toys from Japan and Korea. And happened to be in there and met a kid who was, answering his questions about these special kits he was looking for. Was a big Padres fan, didn't realize he was talking to Jeremiah Estrada. Jeremiah, bought him, three kits. And Annie says, and then at the end, Jeremiah asked Luke if he likes the Padres. He said, yes. Jeremiah told him, stop by the bullpen sometime. Say hello.
So
and then
sick.
That's when Luke realized, oh, I'm talking to Jeremiah Estrada of the San Diego Padres. I love players making human connections with fans. I mean, we're just talking about Aaron Judge. This, though, is really cool. Kind of went above and beyond just when he met one of these Padres fans. And it was a nice, sweet story that was relayed yesterday by our own Annie Halbert.
You know who's not allowed at my house? Jeremiah Estrada and his Lego collection.
I know.
You're not allowed at my house. I'm sorry. I love you. You're a great kid, great pitcher. You're not welcome in the Woods household. And neither are Legos.
You don't want to step on them.
So you know.
They don't get put away.
They don't get put away ever. Ever. Never once. And they're everywhere.
Now, if you could just buy the Legos already all put together and then just enjoy the final product.
Who would
product?
Do that? It's like buying a model airplane that's already put together.
Buying a jigsaw puzzle.
That's already done.
It's glued together and everything.
I'm in.
Put it on your wall.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. Great. Yeah, bought that.
And that's just Don't like that. And Do Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Arlo said, good thing he bought him Legos. He pays his salary after all. I pay your salary. Are you kidding me?
Well, maybe your parents, if they are like season ticket holders, pay a tiny, tiny fraction of your salary.
Even
but...
then, it falls in line with, do you know who I am? That it's right there next
how much
to
does
do you
judge
know
make
who
a
I
year?
Am? Like 40?
I mean, conservatively, what are season tickets for the Yankees? If you had full season, $10,000?
No idea. Like, no, way more.
Way more, but yeah. Still, you're 20, still 000, like talking about
a 0.001% of your salary.
It's just insane. It's just insane behavior from a grown man, dude.
All right, Padres fans, we got some open phone lines. If you want to talk about Matt Waldron's spot on the rotation, the shortstop position, any of it, you can call us right now, 833-288-0973. We don't do this every day, but we got some time here in our next segment if you want to join us. Talk some Padres baseball. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. All right, we got some Padres fans on the line. Want to talk a little baseball with us, 833-288-0973. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by California Coast Credit Union. Get 9.5% APY rate on a five-month certificate for a limited time at Cal Coast Credit Union as they celebrate 95 years in the community. $500 minimum balance. Restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Visit calcocu.org/celebrate. We'll check traffic, and then we'll hit the phone lines to talk about Matt Waldron and Ha-Sung Kim's spot in the lineup and more next year on 97.3 The Fan. Some good chat on Twitter, too. The argument about why you don't move Xander Bogaerts over to shortstop, why moving Jake Cronenworth might not be a great idea as well, and you just kind of have to wear it maybe for the next week with Tyler Wade and sure. Mason McCoy and hope you get by. I guess I just never realized. Hey, we all knew what Ha-Sung Kim is and what he brings to the table. But I never realized how absolutely irreplaceable maybe he was on the San Diego Padres.
And I think maybe we should have with the Janine made a really good point in the chat earlier about why did they move Xander in the first place knowing that Kimmy is a free agent after the season? You know what I mean? Like, why make that switch then? I know they value his glove. His glove's been okay this year. There's been some pretty glaring errors. But again, you see a ball up the middle that Tyler Wade, you know, needs to leave his feet for. And can't make the throw, and you see Ha-Sung Kim probably make a lot of those plays. So I don't know. He was clearly the better defensive shortstop, but if he's going to be leaving in a year, why cause all of this hubbub?
Is he, though? I've been assuming that this is the last season for Ha-Sung Kim, given all the shortstops and the financial, perhaps, considerations. However, if you don't bring Ha-Sung Kim back, what's the big storyline at spring training next year? I know you don't want to think about that, but is it Tatis moving back to short?
Oh,
is it Xander moving back to short?
Merrill.
Is it Jackson Merrill moving back to short? It's going to be a very big storyline if they do not bring back Ha-Sung Kim. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to, we got actually two mics on the line. So Mike, number one, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Am I mic number one?
You are. They actually both say Mike in Chula Vista.
Right, thank you guys. Yeah, first-time caller. Thanks for, I listen to you guys from time to time, but on my way to work, so I figured I'd call. I went to the game yesterday. I told my son, I said, we're watching the game, avid fans, Tuesday night. I said, listen, if we win tonight, we come back and win, then I'm going to take you to the game on Wednesday. and so Profar hit the home run. We just went nuts, having a great time. I grew up on the East Coast, so the way that I view baseball is I do take it personal. I think every game from here on out is a playoff game for us, especially since Arizona seems to have gotten hot. The Dodgers just will not lose now with games. So every game to me really is a playoff game. So I look at the schedule. We always look at the schedule. We go to games. Whenever I do go to games, I get really good tickets. I want to sit close, and we did. I don't want to seem like it was, a waste of time because we had a great time. But then when I seen the schedule and I saw Waldron, I cringed.
Yeah.
I think he's done. I think he's worn out. I don't know if it's lack of effort. I think Vasquez, I'd rather someone like Vasquez in there. I just think he's, I don't know. He looks like he's worn out. One other thing I'd like to say, guys, is guys like Wade and Peralta and Camposano, these guys need to step up. I mean, Wade, the throw he made, the relay he made yesterday, just I watch it intensely. It was horrible. I mean, that guy, he looks like he's a triple-A guy. And Kem being out is a big loss. Guys, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike, number one.
And I think the play he's talking about is the relay home. I mean, where he just spiked it. It's honestly a play that you know, you probably could have had an out there, but yeah, he spiked it. I look, as far as Peralta stepping up, I think he has stepped up a lot lately. You know, Tyler Wade is who Tyler Wade is. He's not an everyday player. He's a pinch hitter. He's a pinch runner, and he's been thrust into this role. You got to show you can get the job done.
One thing Mike said that I understand the sentiment, but I actually disagree with, is he said it really feels like every game's a playoff game from here on out.
I like that mentality,
they're all important. But when you're saying that, essentially you're meaning, okay, we got to win every series. If it's a playoff game, then you got to win every series because otherwise you're eliminated if it's the playoffs. But you're not. If the Padres won every series here on out, they would end up with about 97 wins. They don't need that many to get to the playoffs. They essentially need to play 500 baseball to get to 89 wins, which would likely make the playoffs, or a couple games above 500. That's not playoff baseball. They need to be a 500 team the rest of the way out just to make the playoffs. Now, would I like to see them play better than that? Of course. What do I expect them to play better than that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can't necessarily manage, if you're Mike Shildt,
you
can't manage like it's a playoff game.
No, you can't
get down 8-0 and go, we got to pull out all the stops to win this game because this is a playoff game, because it's not.
It's not.
You don't have to win every game the rest of the way.
And you've won that series.
And you have to keep that in perspective rest of the year.
Hard to do.
You're trying to win as many of the 162 as possible, and occasionally in a baseball season, that requires you essentially not doing everything you can to win some of the 162 to give you a better chance to win more of the 162 at the end. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense,
but it
really is true in baseball.
You have to. You have to manage for tomorrow sometimes and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. So,
especially on a run like the Padres are on right now.
No question.
18 and 18,
of course. And then, you know, with a big, big series against the Mets coming in. I'm personally glad we didn't burn, you know, anybody yesterday.
I am too.
But the guys that we used.
Let's go from Mike in Chula Vista to Mike in Chula Vista. It's Mike in Chula Vista morning.
Hey, Mike, number two. How are you?
Hey, shout out to Mason McCoy, and I believe it was his first major league hit.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, shout out to him, man. Congrats. I got cousins that are Dodger fans, and they're just riding me yesterday.
Oh yeah,
giving me a hard time, telling me, "Oh, this is your guys' downfall, this and that." And I don't believe that because, it wasn't a must win yesterday. You know?
No.
It wasn't you got to win today. You know, there's still quite a few games left. And like you said, you guys said, if you go a few games above 500 and we get in, we're good. You know what I mean?
I mean,
the division title would be great, but I don't know if that's the goal right now.
You tell your cousins $1 billion and you're sitting here worried about the San Diego Padres on August 22nd. I'd say we've had a pretty successful season. If you're still concerned, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Dodgers should have been up 14 games right now. Easy. 14-15 game division, injury schmingery. All I ever hear about is how deep and great that organization is. The fact that they're worried about what we're doing and watching our scoreboard tells me, yeah, I'd be a little concerned too. Yeah, they're playing great right now.
I'm sure there will be a moment over these next 6 weeks where you're concerned about the Padres. It shouldn't be...
Today?
Yeah,
not really.
I mean, wait until they at least lost consecutive games once in the second half of the season before you get before you jump to the level of yellow.
Now,
alert.
If they win tonight, if they lose tonight,
then you can maybe more in the yellow category. But I'm not going to start getting concerned without even back-to-back losses.
I don't get concerned when the team falls down.
They were a season-high 17 games above 500 yesterday.
Right. Right.
Yesterday.
When this team gets down four runs, I don't get concerned.
They could be a season-high 17 games above 500 again.
Tonight. Yeah.
If they win. That's actually cause for optimism, the opposite of concern. Let's get another one in here. I don't have any more mics in Chula Vista, so let's go to Larry in the North County. Larry, good morning.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, I had a perspective on yesterday's game. I tuned it in early. I'd just been gotten off work. I really thought that they were going to try to go after Profar and start a little Donnybrook there.
Us too.
I just saw it because I knew the Twins had lost two emotional games to us. They're a good ball club. But I got to tell you, when Jackson Merrill came to the plate in the first inning with the bases loaded, that could have made for a totally different day.
Yep.
If he could have just put the bat on the ball, it just would have been. That's why he hit the home run later in the game, because he was pissed off he didn't get the in the first inning.
I bet he slept on that one. Yeah,
I bet bad. He had a line drive to center field.
Line drive to center field. Yeah,
just all going to fall in.
One of those things, man. The ability to just knock somebody out early. This team is a late team. They're a late team. They have been all season, which is great. I mean, it's fantastic. I'm sure Mike Schilt, I'm sure we the fans, you know, to get the blood pressure down. Yeah, 3-0 lead there off of Woods Richardson, who really was struggling with location. Would have been great, but the way Matt Waldron pitched, would it have mattered?
Yeah, did he make a pitch to get out of the inning? I don't know. I loved seeing Jackson Merrill up in that situation in the first inning. Took the first ball and going, okay, he looks confident up there. I mean, he always is. No reason not to feel really good in that situation. Had an inside pitch, maybe didn't quite get it off the barrel, still put it on a really good trajectory. If that's 30 feet to the right or left, it's probably a two-run single or maybe even a double that clears the bases. It's not going to happen every single time. You hit the ball on the button, you make outs in Major League Baseball. But I was glad to see him up there. Let's sneak in one more. RJ. Boy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, RJ. We got about 90 seconds.
Here we go. So I understand that we're depleted in the starting pitching role. I know that we needed Waldron. I know all the reality. I know all the facts. So it doesn't take away from the fact that when I'm watching the Padres and I know Waldron's up, I think there was a string of starts where it's like, home run, home run, home run. Heck, I came tuned in late to a game. I have the app. So I rewound it. And I already knew the score was, and I knew Waldron was on the mound. And I went, I bet you let off a home run in the first. Sure enough, I rewound it. Guess what? I'm a soothsayer. The guy let off a home run. So I think now that guys are getting healthier, that's great. I believe the Matt Waldron experience is over. He's definitely not going to be one of the starters in the playoffs. Should we make it? Just not working. It didn't work. Like the other, Mike number one. Yeah, I cringe too. Every time that dude's up, I cringe. And it was happening. It was sucking up eggs.
Like, dump. Sorry, you can't say that on the radio, buddy. Oh, God. All right.
Glad we snuck that one in.
Yeah. Thanks for sneaking that one in. He drops an F-bomb.
I thought he said he was sucking up all the air in the room.
I don't know.
I wasn't sure what I heard.
I'm pretty sure what I heard.
You gotta.
Thanks for the call, RJ.
Thanks, man, RJ. Whew. He might have said sucking, but it sounded like
sure.
He said something
else. I wasn't sure. We can't take any chances.
No chances.
It's funny. You know, he said he was watching on the app. I actually never saw the 7-run inning. I lost all my cable and internet. I tweeted about it. Like, I never actually saw that inning, which I'm kind of glad. It's fine. It sounded very painful for everybody else.
So jarring.
I was like trying to get my app fired up, and by the time I did, it was already 4-0. I'm going, whoa, that's
yeah,
five.
Goes, what
and
just
eight,
happened?
And I'm going, what just happened? I can't even get online right now.
Don't worry about it.
All right, we'll come back. We got plenty more Padres talk coming up with Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.